I want to read from Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 7. Luke chapter 22, verse number 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters in. And he shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles, and the 12 apostles with him. Now we want to read from Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and verse number 12. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?" And he sent forth two of his disciples and said unto them, "Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say to the good man of the house, 'The master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us." And his disciples went forth and called and came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Now I want to read also from John chapter 13 and verse number 1. John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Peter said unto him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter said unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said unto him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." Now, the Lord can add the blessing to the reading of his word. More important than what I can say about it, but just give a little help by the gracious Holy Spirit to speak from where we have read. I want to think about a room today, and little thoughts about the assembly as a room. I want to think about it as not just a room, but an upper room. I want to think about it not just as a upper room, but a large upper room. And not just as a large upper room, but a large upper room furnished and prepare. Not only that, but I want to think about, he says, the guest chamber. Darby in his Bible says, "My guest chamber." I want to think about the assembly of God today. Because oftentimes our value will affect our vision. Our values affects the vision that we have. And we want to just stir you today in having a vision for God. Where no vision is, the people perish. We want to stir you and stir your values and give us a value of the place in which we're found. I remember very vividly and clear in my mind, I'm a first generation Christian in our family lineage, and the very first morning sitting back and observing the breaking of bread. And the announcement was made, and I was to break bread with the Lord's people the next Lord's Day. And my anticipation was great. I didn't have the true value on it. But there was a little value and a little vision that God put there. And I remember my father coming during the week and taking me home and bringing me on home arrest. And I wasn't able to break bread with the Lord's people the next Lord's Day. Some of the things oftentimes that come our way just puts value to the place. We want to think about the place. It's not just any room. He didn't go and tell them to gather in any room. It was a special room. They were to get the singles. The singles was they were to see as they went into the city and as they saw a man bringing a pitcher of water. He was to guide them to the room. The water is a picture of the Word of God. God's Word would guide us to the place. And in that place, the Lord Jesus is dear. The presence of the person, He has promised His presence to be dear. I remember sitting back on that Lord's Day morning, and I never felt the presence of God like I felt it that morning. In my observation of looking on where the people of God was, where His presence was, and where He promised us and gave us all His presence there in that upper room, a room where He was. It was a upper room, and that brings before us that the assembly is elevated above everything else. There's nothing in the world that comes to the standard of this place. It's high above the horizon. It's higher than anything else you would ever find on earth. It's an upper room, elevated from all the standards of earth. It's not only an upper room, but it's a large upper room. It's a room for all the truth of God and all the people of God. No need of leaving this place because there's not enough room. There shouldn't be a need of leaving this place because there's not enough room for all the truth of God. It's a large upper room. And it's furnished. There's provision there. Nothing is missing in this place. It's God's place. It's my guest chamber. Mine. It's furnished, provision for growth. Young man, if you want to grow, if you really want to grow and develop as a young woman or as a young man, stay in the place where He is. No matter what the problem, don't be focused. Don't get your focus on the problems. Get your focus on the person and on the provision of the place. Forget about the problems. Let the people deal with the problems. Who has to deal with the problems? And you get interested in your progress for God in this large upper room. Because not only is there room for growth, but development. You can fully develop to the capacity that you want to develop in this upper room. Large upper room. The only place of safety where He is. Joseph was safe, and we read about Joseph that the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Make sure wherever you go, whatever move you make in life, make sure that the Lord is with you. And that you're doing this because the Word of God is directing you. And don't go against the Word of God. The Spirit of God will never lead contrary to the Word of God. Never. Absolute never. It's an impossibility that the Spirit of God will ever lead you contrary to the Word of God. Provision in this place for growth, development, safety, security. That's what our world needs, isn't it? 9/11 has shown us that there is no security even with the greatest nation of the world.
There's a default in security, but there's no default in His security. There's none. Oh, I know that the terrorists hit at the Christian oftentimes, but listen, it's simply because we're not close to Him. None. He has said He has never lost one. Ever belonged to Him. Provision for safety, security, and for separation. Oftentimes that is our greatest problem. Our greatest problem is our separation. Israel was to be separated from all the other nations of the world, and her strength was in her separation. You are to be separated to this person and this place alone.
You think about this place, and it is the only place on earth that God can call His own. This is my people, my place.
The place He purchased with His precious blood. That's the price He had to pay in order to have this place. He not only purchased it with His blood, but He has planted it by the power of the Holy Spirit and with believers. Believers. He preserves it with the book. That's our problem, getting away from the book. Getting away from the Word of God. Daily reading it. Daily meditation. We are too busy to meditate upon the message. And that's why oftentimes we are not in the place. It's because we are not reading the book. Preserved by the brook and provided. You know, where did David get his stones from?
Got them from the brook.
He got them, the water running over us. And he used these little stones to bring down the giants. And we've got many giants. There are many giants in our world. Our enemy is too great for us collectively and individually. And our only hope is in the book. When you come to John's Gospel, you'll find that John's Gospel speaks about my brethren. This is the closeness to the Lord and feeling. And our fellowship and our focus is in getting close to Him. And then we find my friend, it's freedom. You come to my disciples and it's fellowship. How is your fellowship today? And then it's my servant following the Lord. My sheep is feeding. An animal is what they feed upon. And an individual is what they feed upon. Your feeding capacity today. Where are you gleaming? Where did you gleam today? You get a verse from God's word today. Did you feed upon His word? My guest chamber. Jesus in the midst. God is looking for worshipers, not just workers. Because if you are a true worshiper, you will become a worker. And He's not looking for quantity. He's looking for quality. That's right. And the quality is got by the book, my friend, tonight. And it's very important that you understand that. The guest chamber, it shuts in the guest. But it shuts out the rest. Keeps the world on the outside. And it's nice when the world is not in our hearts. It's on the outside. When you think about this place, there's no place here Christ enjoys His own. He comes into the midst of them. Why does He want us gathered alone to Him? Because He wants to enjoy us. And He wants you to enjoy Him. My guest chamber. Nothing allowed there to take away from Him. It's Him. What attracts you to the place today? What has attracted you to this place, the assembly of God? What has brought you here to His guest chamber? Have you been reading the Word and the Word has directed you to this guest chamber? If the Word has directed you to this guest chamber, the storms is going to be heavy when you pack your bags and leave. When you have gotten the Word from God and you have been prepared in your heart from this Word and you have been directed by the Holy Spirit right to this place and you're brought into His presence, and you know that He's there, and you've felt His presence, the storms are going to be heavy. When you turn to the others on the ship and say, I'm leaving this ship, where will you go? It's His place. Dollar. Oh, they might be frail and fragile, but at His place, He is here, and is very important. Christ is the beauty of the place. It's not, you know, it's His. It's Christ that makes the place beautiful. And that morning when I sat back and observed, and the Lord's day when I really sat to break bread and remember the Lord, it was knowing that He was there. I didn't look around at others. I knew that there was others there. But there were those there that I would have liked to have seen there. But I knew that He was there. His presence was there. And I knew it and I felt it and I understood that He was there. The beauty. And you know, there's boundaries to the place. And when you lose attraction to the beauty of Christ, then the boundaries is going to become difficult. That's right. Boundaries. I was thinking about the place, and I have a few little things that I just want to bring. I got them written down here. Think about the place. I want to think about the person who has promised His presence to be in the place. And then when you think about the place, I want to think about the principles. Because it's not only the person that brought me to that place, it was His principles, His teaching. The principles that I saw taught in the Word of God. I understood that it was taught in the Assembly of God because they got it from the Word of God. But then the people there was beautiful too. The people of the place. You know, when you lose sight of the person who has brought you, dear Christ, then you know the other people become ugly. When you lose sight of the real person, the other person becomes ugly. That's why they get ugly. It's because you lost sight of Him. And when you have complaints and you have criticism and you have so many other things about the people that is in the place, just go back to the tree. Fall in love with the presence that is in the place. And the others, you'll be able to look over them or under them or around them or through them. You'll cope with them. The people. The place. The provision. The provision. When I heard the Word of God and men ministered the Word of God, like Mr. Albert Ramsey and Mr. Bert Joyce, Mr. Ramsey's in heaven now and Mr. Joyce still is with us in Newfoundland, and some of the other men that taught us the Word of God, and they told us the provision, that's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be in this place of great provision. Not only that, but the planting. When I understood that it was the Holy Spirit that planted this place. It was the Spirit of God that drew these people together and preserved these people. And it wasn't of man, it was of God. Then the peace. Oh yes, peace. You know, you can still have peace when there's a storm. Learn to do that. And if you don't learn to get peace when there's a storm, then you're not going to live very restful in the world, because this world is full of storms. And the assembly is full of storms oftentimes. But learn to have peace in the midst of storms. That's when you really have peace. When that storm is going by and the waves, you don't know where he's going to come next. And you can just reach over and put your hand in the hand of the man who stills the water. The man of the man who calms the sea. And you can put your hand in His hand, then you have nothing to fear. If you fear God, my friend, you have nothing else to fear. You can be fearless at all times and in all places. And that's what we want to get you to get a hold tonight. That this person is a tremendous man who has promised to be in our presence and who will be with us at all, never forsake us. You have to, you know, sometimes go away and leave your wife, and sometimes go away and leave your children, and sometimes your children grow up and move away and leave you. But listen, this person, he can be with you no matter where you go. He went with me in flights not 10 hours long over the Atlantic Ocean, and flights that were difficult. There's some of the difficult flights. But His presence is there. Peace in the midst of a storm. Preservation. Preservation in this place. Ruth, where was she the safest? in any field in the land that she came back to. No, my friend, she was the safest in Boaz's field. You can't play both fields, you know. Gotta learn the field, and she wanted to be in this field, and she knew that she was the safest, and she got that assurance too. Boaz told the young men, don't touch this lady. And, you know, she learned that there's extra corn, extra pieces along the way, and there's water, and there was restful moments, and because Boaz was there in Boaz's field. Nothing like being near the Lord, and nothing like the Lord being near you. 17th floor of the General Hospital, City of Montreal. Stood one morning, early in the morning, and I slipped in around the curtain, and my brother was dying a day before his 19th birthday, a storm. Oh, what a storm. What a storm that hit this chest. What a storm that hit this mind. Boy, I hadn't professed to be saved, and I had no assurance that he was ready to meet God, and this was the day he was going to die. A tremendous storm. Preservation in this place. The promise of him nearing the Lord. Oh, listen, whatever you covet in life. Lots of things are covered in Ontario. Big buildings and big farms and big tractors and, you know, big homes and big cars. And there's a lot of these things where I've never seen when I was a boy. And I was far into my, you know, manhood before I ever seen them. And they didn't belong to me then when I seen them. And I didn't know who owned them. Lots of things to covet. But listen, if you covet anything, covet His presence. Covet the presence of the eternal God. We need Him in the midst of the storms that is coming. The Lord is coming back. Soon going to hear His footfall. Soon going to hear His voice. Soon going to rise if it is a storm and meet Him. And the storm is not going to get any better. I can't promise you that. Churchill, when he was about to, you know, launch out when it comes to Hitler and the Second World War, he knew He was coming. He couldn't promise them any more than blood, sweat, and tears. Lots of hard work. But listen to Master's face. I don't know about you, but I get homesick. I've never seen His face by sight. I've just seen it by faith. I've never touched His hand like John has and Peter. But I'm going to. We're looking forward to that day. And the storm is heavy all around us. Ah, His presence. Covet His presence, His holy presence is absolutely necessary. It's an upper room. It's a large upper room. It's an upper room with higher principles than the world. Oh, the principles of the world so low. This place says principles, real principles. That's right. Love has limits. Sometimes we think that assembly puts limits on you. Well, love has limits, my friend. It does have limits. But it do require loyalty too. That's right. He's the Lord of the place that gives liberty to the place. And that brings love into the place. That's right. And it brings largeness into that place. Christ makes it so large. Allowing Christ to be in the place. And if Christ is there with all His fullness, then the place is large, my friend. Principles higher. Practices are higher. That's right. I saw when I came to that place and saw it operate the assembly of God, I realized the practices here is not the practices of my hometown. Not the practices of my home. It's not the practices that I've been used to. And the principles was higher. And I appreciated that. A level, a higherness. It was preeminence. He was the preeminent one. Oftentimes that's the problem when one man gets his hand on a grip on something and, you know, he is the preeminent one. You can't hold, you know, you do something and you can't do anything. You got to go to the boss. Hope no assemblies in Ontario has bosses. Preeminent. He is the preeminent and should be the preeminent one. And when he is, every man is in his place. Not every man ever place. No, when he has a preeminence, every man is in their place, not out of their place. Then you find that the power in that place. When I heard these men pray, I never heard anything like it in my life. Minister used to get up and read prayers, and I knew what he was going to say, and I knew the mistakes he made in his prayer because it was written in a prayer book. But when I heard these godly men get up, God-fearing men, without education, they never learned to read. They didn't know how to read. but they knew how to pray, and they were in touch with the preeminent one, my friend. Never saw a place like it. Spellbound, touched by the awesomeness of the presence of the Holy God. That's what we need in every assembly. Then we find the standards here. As you know, it's not a compromising. Aaron compromises the standard. Took the goal of the people of God, and instead of using it for the cleansing of the people and the outreach of the compassion of the people, made a golden calf. Standard is not a standard for the week and just another standard on Sunday. It's not how you dress on a Sunday and then you dress different, completely different, and you have no care of how you dress during the week. It's not how you have your hair on a weekday and another one different than on a Sunday. Principles, my friend. We heard principles that we didn't know was in the Scriptures, and they taught it to us. Young men with their short hair. Young women with their long hair. Young women with their long dress, men that was dressed right and commendable. Compromise. Don't compromise to the world. Don't let the world squeeze you into a being compromising. We don't have to compromise anything. We have power behind us that will help us to go forth with the truth and keep the truth, and to keep the truth will keep us. Power, my friend. We don't have any lack of any power. The man that stilled the waters with one word. This man is able to help you in all your life, young man and woman. Don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of all the politics and the pressures of life and these people coming over with new standards and new cultures and all the rest that they have. No, there's a standard in the Bible and you can hold to it, and God will give you all the power that you need to live to it. And when it comes to the end of life, I know what it was a little bit. My father didn't commend us very many times, but there were times when, you know, he said to me, "You did a good job. You did a neat job there. We're proud of you today." Listen, one of these days we're going to hear that call. We're all going home. We'll meet the Master, and will it be nice to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I know you was in a hard school, but oh boy, it was nice to see you keep these principles. I know you was in a hard university, but it was nice for you to go dressed like a girl and in modesty every day. I commended you, and there's a reward here for it, my friend." Don't get weak hands. Don't let your knees knock. Don't get frail. Don't let the world put the pressure on you. Change the standards that the men have so much sacrificed in order that you and I would hear the truth. Don't let your mom and dad down, who lived so long and put so much into the assembly of God and sank their life into it, and they sacrificed so many ways that you would have the truth, and they wanted you to be the boy and girl of that and a standard high. They kept the standard high. Listen, don't you lower the standard or let Satan have you to lower or compromise in any way. God will be with you at all times. And the truth that you know that has been taught in Ontario from British Columbia and right down on through until it comes to the Atlantic Ocean, and the truth of God unto His name, and the principles that we hold so high in the assembly of God, don't let them put pressure on you to change or compromise in any way. You can still love them and still live for God. Sure. You can still show your love towards them and still live for the Lord. It wasn't easy. As a boy, we got saved at 16. We lived in an ungodly home. And it wasn't easy to show my parents that I loved them and still live for God at the same time. I'm not going to tell you it was easy. I wouldn't deceive you it was easy. Lots of nights I fell asleep crying and just crying to God for mercy. "Lord, I want to be faithful to you. And yet I want to be faithful to my parents. I want to show them that I love them, but I want to be loyal to you and the truth that I know is right. And I came and separated from my home and went into the city of Cornerbrook. And I stayed in homes that the principles was just as low as the home that I just left. But I wanted to be faithful. I ran from that home many times, crying to God, have mercy upon me, Lord. I don't want to fall. I don't want to go down on the pressure. I want to stand firm and I want to focus, keep my eyes upon the cross. I want to be able to hold the truth. I don't want stories to get back to my parents and say, this boy has gone back the way that he left. And they would laugh and they would be happy. But my Heavenly Father would be sad. Young men and women, the future of Ontario and the Assemblies of God lie in your hands. What you do today will depend on what you will be tomorrow. And the decisions and the choices that you and I make today will depend on what the assemblies will be in Ontario and Atlantic Canada and in Canada itself within 20 years. It depends upon the choices that you and I make. Don't allow the enemy. Don't allow the enemy, because we read here, isn't it? The enemy was there. Satan was there at the beginning, and he's certainly here at the end. But don't be afraid by him. He's no match for the one that controlled these little stones with David. He's no match for the one who just preserved the promise that he made to Joseph. And he's no match for the one who kept and preserved Ruth and brought her back to Boaz. He's no match for the one who preserved the little Rahab that was behind the line that came down in the tower in the city that fell. And he is no match for him. We have a greater one. The one that lives in you and the one that is in our presence is the one who's able to overcome all of the enemy. Get your focus on the cross. Keep it on the cross. And when you find that your focus is not, then cry to God and get back to us. And allow the truth to sink deep into your soul and put deep values upon what God values. And when you get the true values of what God values in His place and His presence and His principles, then the visions will be greater. That's what we need. Is men with visions that comes from the place of putting the right value on the right thing. People know the price of everything. Value of money. Do you know the value of God's assembly and the truth of God? Value it. Put it in your heart. Store it in your soul and allow God to take you out into this mighty storm and not sink and not sob, but sing as you go to the storm